You are listening to The Link, an interactive podcast hosted by public policy experts at the U.S. Oncology Network. Your link to the policy that matters most.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to The Link. Again, my name is JC Cardenas. We are in the reception time of the annual conference here at the U.S. Oncology Network annual conference here in Los Angeles. Right now, I'm joined by
Ben Jones, Vice President of Government Relations and Public Policy.
Ronte Davis, Executive Director with Affiliated Oncologists in Chicago.
And I am Scott Kruger with Virginia Oncology Associates in Southeast Virginia, one of the physicians and right now the medical director.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Take it away.
Same thing. And
the chairman of the PAC
committee. The chairman of the U.S. Oncology Network Political Action Committee.
One of the most powerful committees, and probably my favorite, of the U.S. Oncology Network.
And honestly, the most important.
That's exactly
right.
Because
our job is to educate our legislators so that they understand things, and they may not totally understand it, and they need to see it from a patient standpoint.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. Dr. Kruger, how long have you been in this role with the PAC?
Good question. Maybe 8 years, 10 years?
8 to 10 years. And how many times have you joined us in Washington, D.C. for a fly-in?
At least 7 or 8.
That's right.
I think the most impressive one we had, though, was when we brought 3 busloads of patients up during a hurricane. And it was a very important issue, a Save Oncology. And our patients came up in the middle of a hurricane and drove back home to come home. That's how important it was.
That's great. And Ronte, you've been really getting involved in legislator engagement lately. Are you going to start? Are you thinking about joining us up in D.C. sometime?
I would love to. It's important as community practices to be connected to both state and federal concerning public health, and especially community oncology practices. And so we're actually fortunate on May 1st, shameless plug, we'll have our local congressman coming for a site visit to be able to learn about a small business. We're actually celebrating 50 years affiliated.
Wow.
Started in 1973.
That's exciting.
We're celebrating 50 years, and Congressman
Kasten
will be coming to our practice on Monday, yeah. May 1st.
Yeah, that's something we're really excited about. We've been hosting a handful of site visits. We have several lined up, and we've already completed a couple throughout the country, one in Texas, one in Virginia. Will be in your state. We're hoping to get a couple more in Texas, more Virginia, more throughout the network as we keep working with members of Congress. And I think that's one of our big tools to really educate them and show them, you know, the work that we do. And not only that, but the care that we deliver in their districts that sometimes they aren't really aware of.
And it's so important coming out of the pandemic, because these members were, they were isolated. Your practices were largely closed. I mean, there was a period of time when you couldn't even allow family members. So to be able to finally be able to invite elected officials, walk them through your practice, show them how the patient experience truly is, and then even more importantly, how some of the disruption is caused by public policies gone awry. So I'm glad that they're kicking back off. It's fantastic.
You're absolutely right, and I think it's important that our legislatures realize that we didn't close for COVID. Our patients needed care, and they had to find a way to give it to them. So, you know, all the plexiglass and other things that we purchased, the way we had to change the way we do business, at least our patients could take care of. But you're right, we couldn't let family members in, we couldn't let other people in, we couldn't let even strangers in. We wouldn't even let the Medicaid drivers in.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's an interesting time. And we're going kind of through different periods. We had pre-COVID, we had the COVID, and then we're coming after COVID. And so I'm excited. And I will say this is that we always talk about healthcare community, in particular physicians and nurses and just our clinical and admin staff being heroes. They really were. When you're up behind the scenes and actually seeing the challenges that the care team and being able to take care of patients, it was critical during this time. And so it's so important, the work that we do at a local community setting, and being able to connect these local issues, both at the state and federal level, is so vitally important.
And one thing that I always like to remind policymakers is we all know the role and the value of community. During COVID, it was essential. It was critical. Hospitals were stretched to the brink. They were using every inch of their facilities to treat patients that were infected with COVID. We had to be there to provide that safety net to make sure that patients still had access to care. That is the critical role that community plays, and community oncology in particular plays.
You're right. In my area, we lost all of our oncology beds. We went from 24 to 2, and wow. They didn't even belong to us. It was really difficult to provide the care for patients. And when you talk about the resilience, I mean, our staff was just absolutely amazing. You know, they had their problems with childcare, taking care of their own kids, and so many people just helped work, shared jobs, worked extra hours. They made sure that our patients were cared for.
Yeah.
And I'll piggyback on that. I mean, it was critical during that time frame because, you know, we're starting to also rethink how we look at COVID. But when it first happened, let's be frank, we were scared. We didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
We did not know. I can't say it had very similarities to the AIDS epidemic, but it was eerie where we didn't know. I sat in many meetings with physicians and community leaders where we were just moment by moment. And you always heard that phrase day to day. It was moment by moment where we was making critical decisions, how to take care of patients, how to take care of our staff, how to help each other, emotional breakdowns and mental health. I mean, it was a period of time that we won't know the full impact until decades to come. So I'm glad to see that we've worked through that. But I would say from a community setting, we're rooted in the community, whether you're in Missouri, if you're in Texas, both in urban and rural communities, our oncology practices are here, and our doors didn't close. They stayed open to serve our patients. We figured out new ways of being able to connect with them, whether it was telehealth, virtual help, but we still was able to provide that service for our patients right there locally in the community.
I think the real sad part was there were patients who were so scared about COVID that they had illness and they didn't seek help. And then for some of them, unfortunately, it was too late.
Yeah.
And that was horrible.
You know, it's a good question. So there was an obvious drop off from screenings, patient encounters were down significantly because of exactly what you said, Dr. Kruger. Have you guys seen that start to rebound? Has it come back, or are we still in a little bit of a deficit where we don't truly, to your point, Roger, we don't truly know the full impact of COVID? Where are we in that spectrum?
I think we're improving, but we're still in a deficit. We still have patients that are afraid to come in. They're afraid to leave their home, especially the older folks with many other medical conditions. They're still afraid to come in. Even if you try to arrange it that they come in off hours or after hours, they're definitely afraid.
Is that right? Wow. That is scary.
Well, and I'm going to go back to my phrase. Pre-COVID, during COVID, and post-COVID. And the reason I say that is that distressed communities, pre-COVID already, there was a health disparity, and we've talked about that. And ideally, the importance of screening, whether it's colon screening, breast screening, it's important because it gives early detection, more options, right? And so when you have those gaps in health disparities, it creates some challenges. And so you saw during COVID, and even now, many patients, when they come in, they stage 3, stage 4 cancer due to that not being screened in a timely manner. So to the audience that's listening, I would advocate, get screened. It's important. It's part of the care plan, but get screened.
Yeah, when we talk about cancer, there's a lot of benign heme diseases that unfortunately patients are not getting help for.
Yep.
Honestly, one of my scariest nights on call, I called to an emergency room at 10 p.m., and we were doing CPR on this person who had a 6-year-old kid. And unfortunately, it was someone I worked with.
Wow.
She died of a heme disease, had nothing to do with cancer. She was sick for about a week, and unfortunately never got cured. And it was extremely sad. Mm-hmm. Horrible.
Well, hopefully the post-COVID period gets us back to normal pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fearful that, I mean, here we are. This is our first annual conference in 4 years. Wonderful energy. There's a ton of people here. I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying seeing faces that I haven't seen in a long time, except on the screen. But it does like strike me about the trade-off, right? So we're coming in this post-COVID time. People have put their lives on hold for 3 years. And I still think we're in a little bit of like a, I'm not ready to, or if I do, I've got a lot that I put on hold for 2 years, whether that's like personal vacations, like family time. You want to go see your family. I just wonder when we really, truly get back to normal out of that post-COVID period. Do you have any predictions?
I think my predictions is this. We've experienced something that from the history books will be written for ages. So I think this is, you know, that post-era, and I think it's a season of being able to come back. And I don't think it's going to necessarily be the same as pre-COVID, whether it's, you know, some of the things that within the conference we was talking about, different generations, the mindset, how the workforce is. So I think it's just going to be a new way of being able to not just serve our patients, but also how can we provide the quality of care for these various generations. I earlier mentioned about, you know, telehealth. That's going to be something that really is part of our infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. When we start talking about quality care, how do we make sure that we have enough touch points for patients? And that's going to come in multiple different ways.
Yep.
How do we utilize technology to be able to care for our patients? Then when they being able to make sure that our clinical pathways are aligned with payers. I mean, it's going to be a new season. And mm-hmm. so if I'm looking at predictions, I think it's going to be, I would say from a community setting, it's always better and greater because we know how to do it, and we know how to do it well because we know our communities. I keep saying it, we're rooted in the communities.
Yep.
And so when you're rooted in the communities, you know their needs, whether it's screening, whether it's care plans, and then also post. We often don't talk enough about post after cancer. The family and the communities that are impacted by that, the work that's done from that perspective. Guess what? In community settings, we provide that. We provide that support, that survivorship support, those communities to be able to care, not just for the patient, but the patient support team also.
And I think that's one of the big things that the network offers and does a really good job is supporting the patient's support system, their family, their relatives, their close ones who are helping them and being there with them. Our practices don't forget that. And I think that's a really big thing and really key driver for the work that is being done.
You're absolutely right. I think one of the important things that we're seeing now, which we didn't see during COVID, was the camaraderie, the fact patients are talking and helping each other. And I think during COVID, it was a very lonely place.
Yeah.
People were afraid of everything. They came in, they left, they were separated by 6 or 12 feet. You know, it was very lonely for patients. I'm glad that people are coming together again.
So let me ask a question. This is going to be this is going to sound like a very self-serving question. So I apologize. I mean, actually, not really. I want to hear. What would that have been like had you not been a part of the U.S. Oncology Network? Would you have noticed a difference? I'm just completely honest here. Would you have noticed a difference? Was there a little bit of a level of, okay, I'm a part of something bigger. Like we can all share our experience and get through this together. How different would life have been had you not been a part of U.S. Oncology? I'm just curious.
I think in my world, we might have closed. I think a lot of the other oncologists in the community did close. Yeah. They just stopped treating patients. I think because of the camaraderie, because of the togetherness of the different practices, we all figured out a way to have COVID task force, and we all became public health ministers of our local community. Something we're not necessarily all trained in, some of us are, and it really changed the way and the dynamics of how even some of our hospitals did things. Because we were wearing masks, we were screening, the hospitals were screening. They were sort of looking to us for the guidance.
Yeah, I believe from my perspective, when you have a community, it was great to be able to bounce ideas. solutions. What are you doing? And we're doing this. And so being able to know that you had, you know, as we would say, phone a friend or text a friend, you could. And the interesting thing is this, is though, even though we may be in 20 plus states, we all have the same issues. And so being able to, how do we connect with our local health agencies and being able to partner with them? We forget, we talk about just that, we one aspect is missed is also the procurement of PPE. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a fun task, right?
Remember that.
So, you know, being able to partner with colleagues across the country, hey, how did you do this and where did you go? Many of us drove, you know, 10 hours just to get PPE for our staff, right? Because someone's like, hey, I have, you know, a vendor that is able to get this. And so there was many shipments either, you know, literally in the oceans. So we was it was constant that we was looking and developing ideas to be able to care for our patients and each other. So when you connected and you have that community, it really gave you comfort from that perspective. So if we didn't have that network, it would have been a challenge. It was several businesses that closed down. Pre-COVID is what 50% of businesses fail within the first 2 to 3 years, period. Regardless of industry, 50% of businesses fail within the first 2 to 3 years. So now you add on a pandemic, that becomes a challenge. So by the access of the network and the strength of the network, to me, show the value of it. And you look at it coming off of it, we continue to grow. And that's a good thing.
That is a very good thing.
So as we wrap up, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was the network that hired several planes and brought PPE to us. Mm-hmm. We couldn't find it when we were out of blood tubes. It was a network that worked with us and helped us find a way to get the blood tubes so we could even run CDCs. So
And I have to say this, it was also the network that kept us connected to access to that to vaccines and knowing the status of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy now. We can go to the CVS and the Walgreens. But knowing the status of that, guess what? Access through the network, the knowledge, because they was connected at a federal level to be able to educate us at a local level.
When the vaccine first came out, cancer patients weren't the number one people getting it. And we were fortunate enough to get a group of vaccine. We actually opened up our clinics on Saturday and Sunday. We were giving the vaccine. We were very fortunate that we actually got a nice supply.
Maybe
8,000 vaccines.
Wow.
That's
five
offices.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
So as we sort of wrap up here, I want to bring it back to post-COVID and now. And we're here in Los Angeles. This is officially my first annual conference. I know I've had a lot of good times here, meeting everybody that I've corresponded with through email and getting to know a lot more people, and since I'm still newer to the network. But how has it been for you guys, and what are you looking forward to in our final day as we wrap up the conference, and what has it been like?
Well, for me, it's nice to see old friends again. I've been in the network a long time, and I kind of miss doing it. I kind of miss talking to people and networking. But even during COVID, we found other ways to network. I learned all Zooms and all these other different programs so that we could talk, and you know, it helped give us all strength to do it all together.
I'll piggyback on the personal interactions, being able to hug and shake someone's hand. It's powerful. And so for me, I've been to several conferences, but it's nice to get a chance to connect again. And so, and that's the value of the community. We're in different states, we're in different regions, different areas, but guess what? We all have the same cause. We want to cure cancer.
Nope, I think that's it. I mean, I agree. I've just so enjoyed just the networking aspect of it. The content has been phenomenal. I think it's been valuable. You talked about the last keynote speaker that Jason Dorsey, who spoke about the generational differences. I think that is meaningful as we try to navigate the workforce shortages or the workforce issues. But beyond any of that, it's just the shaking hands and networking and high fives that I've seen. It's been fantastic.
The other thing is we've had a lot of speakers today that none of us would have known that they were touched by cancer, even themselves or their family or their friends. And many of them are using community. It just gives us a spirit of you know, how we want to take care of them, what changes do we want to make. And we look at the patient study. And I think it's clear that we're meeting a lot of the needs and we're going to go further.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys again so much for joining us here and then taking the time from the reception to join us on the podcast. Really looking forward to the next day left in the conference. And thank you guys again.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the LINK podcast, your link to the legislature. For more information on healthcare policy and the U.S. Oncology Network, visit www.legislink.com.